Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Shavuot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Daled. And yesterday we got up to the drasha of Beit Aharon, Baruchu Et Hashem, which is a raya that when the Torah says v'chiper, that when the Kohen Gadol is mechaper with the vidui, he's mechaper also al beito, then that includes Beit Aaron. That was the last thing that we learned. And now we want to get back to a very strange thing that we said yesterday, which is that it sounds from the Pasuk as if there's no way that Kohanim would get kapara. This is about a quarter of the way down. And because of that, we had to be Dorish, that whole Pasuk. Initially, we said that actually, we don't need to be Dorish the Pasuk that way because it was just a Svora, since it says V'chiper l'Kohanim, we had to figure out on our own which one it was, and then we explained, okay, if you don't like that Svora, let's take a look at Beito, including Beit Aaron. But the bottom line is, why did we even need to bring a Raya that the Kohanim are going to get a Kapora, and that Asher Lo, when it says Parachatat Asher Lo, that it would mean to exclude the Kohanim, because I know that I need Asher Lo to tell me something else entirely, and therefore I shouldn't even need to look around for how it is that Kohanim are mitchapri. Ask the Gemara. When you said yesterday Asher Lo seems to imply that only Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, can get a kapara from it, is that the point of Asher Lo? I thought that the truth is that we need that pasuk for an entirely different thing. Now, before we talk about that pasuk, we need to recognize that the pasuk, in a sense, is repeated three times, because it starts off the whole parasha. V'hikriv Aaron et parachatat asher lo v'chiper ba'ado ba'ad beito. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean that he actually was makriv it, because a few psukim later, when it comes to the actual avodah, it says again exactly the same words. It says, V'kriva ronet parachatat shalom, V'kiper ba'do ba'ad beito. And then it says, V'shachatet parachatat shalom. That's very strange. So we have two times V'hikriv, and we have one time V'shachat, each time mentioning asher lo. Every single time it mentions the par, it talks about it in terms of asher lo. It has to be his. Why do we need three times to repeat the same thing? Now, you said that the reason that it says Asher Lo was in order to allow us to at least believe that it's only meant for Aaron and not meant for anybody else. But that's not true, because the Braita says that I need it for the following. Why does it say Asher Lo? It tells me that he has to pay out of his own funds for this part. And why does it repeat Asher Lo? Because you might think, first of all, Mishal Mevi Veino Mevi Mishal Tzibo. Why does it repeat it? Because, okay, you might have thought that Yochel Lo Yovi Mishal Tzipor, Sheina Tzipor Mitchaprim Bo. When it says Mishal Lo, that means not from Bnei Yisrael. But that's because Bnei Yisrael don't have any share in this carbon. However, the Kohanim, they all have a share in this korban, because remember that he's bringing it al echav Kohanim. So a yavim ishal echav Kohanim, because the Kohanim, after all, they get their own kapara from it. Therefore, I need to say asher lo again to tell me it's not a function of who gets the kapara. The idea over here is who gets to pay. And it's specifically the Kohen Gadol, and only the Kohen Gadol, who is allowed to put in funds for this korban. Nobody else could participate. That's why it repeats Asher Lo again. Now, you might think that that means only lechatchila, yochol lo yavi, but in the event that b'diavad, if he did bring, it would be kosher. Therefore, it says again Asher Lo, this time about v'shachat, to tell me, as we remember in the Kedinim Kochim, if the pasuk doesn't repeat it twice, it's not ma'akim. So therefore, it says Asher Lo yet again to teach me Hakatuv Shana Alav La'akev, and that actually it will be a pasul par if anybody else put in money. So why did you make such a big deal yesterday about saying it says Asher Lo, and Asher Lo means nobody else is allowed to get a piece of the action? That's not true. That's not what Asher Lo comes to tell me. Ella, what was the meaning of the Braita before when the Tana says, you might think that what, that Kohanim don't get a kapara at all? The point was that Tana Hochiko Kasha, why is it that when it came to the El Ha'am, it says that if it's the ayah that was me'et ha'am, which it specifies, keeps talking about that, right? So over there, it means to tell me that the Kohanim cannot be mechaper from that ayah, the El Ha'am. It's only the Am. Now, I'm assuming that the reason that that's true is that the Kohanim can't get any kapara because they've been locked up from buying it, and therefore it follows that they can't get the kapara, right? So it says, take the ayah, the korban that is the El Ha'am. So it's telling me that since it came from them, it's only mechaper on them. And therefore, lo kachasri momona, the Kohanim can't pay any money towards it, tichtiv asher la'am. So what the Tana was asking, why isn't it a direct result of the fact that when you said the par asher lo, that that means that nobody else could pay money for it? So that's exactly what his problem was. If you're telling me that when it comes to the Ela'am, anybody who doesn't pay doesn't get kapora, so then why isn't that true also by the par Chatat Asher Lo, which indeed I agree, it means exactly what you said. Nobody else can pay for it. But doesn't that ipso facto prove that if nobody can pay, then they can't be mishaper? So, but the Aronami, since we say that nobody, even the Kohanim, lo kachatsri b'mamona, and therefore they shouldn't get a kapora, that's why we have to explain that they are considered to be beferish included in the pasuk of chiper ba'ado uva'ad beito, and now we understand that that itself was part of exactly the same limud, that it's in the end we have to show that ad beito includes actually the Beit Aharon. Okay, now, remember the machlokas. Let's get back to the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And think about that machlokas. Rabbi Shimon had said that the Kohanim do not get any kind of kapara from the Seir La'azazel. And he split up the kapara to the Kohanim between the dam of the par and the vidoy on the par, correct? Now, that makes a lot of sense, says the Gemara. Because Bishlam el Rabbi Shimon, remember that each time that the pasuk mentioned the kriv par hachatat asher lo, it did not mean that he brings it as a korban. Obviously, it can't mean that because it only says afterwards v'shachat et par hachatat asher lo. So he couldn't have brought it as a korban. So what does it mean when it says v'kriv et par hachatat asher lo, that he goes over to his par and he says vidui on the par? That's what it means. Why do I need two times vidui? Ah, that makes very good sense. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, since the Kohanim do not get a kapora on any of the other averas that are normally brought for Yisrael from the Surah Mishtaleach, so because of that, we needed to have a kapora for two completely different things, right? So now we have three different issues. One of them is the first vidui on the par, the second one is a second vidui on the par, and the third one is the dam of the par, which comes after v'shachatat par. So according to Rabbi Shimon, yes, you know why we need so many different things? Because, l'maisa, this par is coming keneged three different korbanos, correct? One is keneged the Surah Hanaseh Bifnim, which is a kapora for Yisrael, as we learned before in the Mishnah. This is a kapora l'Yisrael for someone who as yet is not chayev because he only had yidia b'tchila and he didn't have yidia b'sof. Chad is keneged soyer hanase b'chutz. The soyer hanase b'chutz, which was the musaf That was the kapara for those. I'm sorry, I reversed it. Chag Keneged Tzar Naaseh Bifnim, which was the mate, the partner to the Tzar HaMishtaleach. So that was a kapara, we said, even if it was done b'mezid, or it was the kapara for something that had no yediyah b'tchila. But Chag was Keneged Tzar Naaseh B'chutz, which was the Musaf, and that was b'chaper, if there was a yediyah b'tchila, but not as yet Yediyah B'Sov. And Chad was Keneged, that was the Dama Par, said Rabbi Shimon. That was Mechapa for Shara Averot, which is the equivalent Kapara to the Sa'ir La'azazel. So therefore, we've got all three Kaparas. Yesh lo Yediyah B'Tchila, the Ein lo Yediyah B'Sov. So that was our Kapara of the Bifnim. The Bachutz was Mechaper, where there was no Yediyah B'Tchila, but there was Yediyah B'Sov, and the Azazel was Mechaper for all of the other Averas. That's what Yisrael got from it. So how did the Kohanim get those three different Kaporas of Seirim? Must be that they have three separate Kaporas. One was the first Vidui, one was the second Vidui, and one was the V'Shachatis Parachatad, and then he brings the Dam. So that makes sense. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, he holds that the Kohanim do get Kapora al Shara Averot from the Sa'ir HaMishtaleach. So then, why do we need three separate Kaporas? Two Viduyim and one Shchita with the Dam that is brought. It would be enough to have one Vidui and the Dam. Says the Gemara, you're 100% right. But remember, one of these Viduyim is for the Kohen Gadol himself, and the other is for the broader, the Kohen Gadol himself includes the Kohen and his personal bayit, and one was the vidui that he made for Echava Kohanim, like we say when we daven on Yom Kippur and we go through that, so we spell that out, that it's al Echava Kohanim. And that's Kedetana Devei Rabbi Yishmael. Why do we need it in two separate steps? Why wasn't it just simply done in one step? V'chiper ba'adom, ba'ad beto, personal, and Ba'ad Echav HaKohanim, all at one time. Because, as Rabbi Shmuel pointed out, the correct way, Kachi Midat HaDin Noheged, the concept of Kapora actually requires that the person who is bringing a Kapora on someone else should be himself a person who is Zakai. Therefore, first, he's Mechaper on himself and his family. Now that he's Tor, he can go and be Mechaper on those other Echov HaKohanim, and that brings us to a Richie moment.
Rebbe, isn't that striking that the Vidu itself is the Zikui without having to bring the Korban?
No, it's not. I mean, everything in the Torah is striking, but is it more striking than the Chiev of Bris Milah? I'm not sure. Is it more striking than keeping Shabbos? I don't know. I mean, is it in some way a departure? I don't think it's a departure.
I think the working assumption was that you do the vidui and then the korban works. And here, the Gemara is saying, and Rebbe is saying, the Rashi string, he's nasa zakai without the korban. So then what's the korban for? It's not for his personal status. His personal status, the vidui did it by itself, assumedly with tshuva.
But we're talking about over here, remember, we're talking about the Par Kohen Gadol, in which there is no hakrova of this korban. So basically, every aspect of this korban, the korban is actually nisrefet completely. It's taken away. It's not put on the mizbeah. So it's a completely different type of korban. And therefore, we see even the dam of it is not put on the mizbeah. The dam of it is a mechaper, meaning a cleaning. But it isn't the way that the dam huanefesh is the mechaper, the way it is on a normal korban. That's why it's similar to the Tzar HaMishtaleach, in which the vidui is the kapar, and then we do the shiluah, right? So it's a very unique kind of combination of korbanas. That's why we're looking for the way that we can match up the various aspects of the Tzar HaMishtaleach, which includes the Tzar Naaseh Bifnim, with the single korban of the par, which was the whole logic of Rabbi Shimon in the first place. Anyway, it looks like Richie is not here, and that puts our very special duck on notice that he's got to get ready for a major litvisha. Hadralach Shavuos Shtayim.
The Li Neder.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. I'm telling you, a special day. Apparently, Lechavet Lag BaOmer that begins this evening. We have the zechus of hearing Doc introduce the amazing second perek. Okay. Now, this second perek is interested in looking into the concept of the chiyuvim, which we said was Shnayim Shem Arba, when it came to the Knisa Lemigdash, the Achilas Kodesh, and the question of what the Adiyos were. So we asserted all along, back in the first Mishnah, we opened it up with the fact that there are two Tumas, two Yediyos HaTuma, which equal four. Now let's just remember very clearly what that means. There were always two elements in any one of the Chatoyim of Migdash VeKedosha. Because even though we entertained for a moment that maybe the very fact that you became Tamei somehow was Mechayev you in a Korban Olah V'Yoreid, we saw immediately that since the Torah repeats Utamei V'Hashem, he must have done something wrong. So we were trying to figure out what exactly did he do wrong? What was the V'Hashem? And so we came out with two different things that he might have done wrong in his Tuma. One was that he ate Basar of Kodesh, and the other, Doc, you want to mute? The other was that he might have walked into the Beis HaMikdash Betuma. Those two possibilities are each alone is Mechayev him a Korban Olah V'Yoreid, right? But the thing is that we learned out from the Pasuk that since it says V'Ne'elam twice in that Pasuk, so there was a need for him to have originally known something and then to have forgotten it, which was when he did his Shigoga, and then to have found out at the end to be Mechayev him the Korban Olah V'Yoreid. Now the question is, what did he know and what did he forget? This was the old question of Nixon's Watergate. There was lots of questions that kept coming up in American politics. What did he know? Okay, so that's exactly what our Yediyos HaTuma is all about. So there's different ways, obviously, that this could play out. He initially understood that what it was that he was about to do was wrong. And then he forgot that it was wrong. Now, there's two elements that are necessary to include in his knowing that it's wrong. He needs to know that he was tummy, and he needs to know that either this meat is kodesh and he better not eat it, or he needs to know that he was tummy, and he needs to know that this is the Beis HaMikdash, and he's not allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash, right? So that gives us, actually, four different situations of things that were forgotten. Because in order to forget what he knew, he doesn't necessarily have to forget every last element. He just has to forget the combination of elements that make it necessary for him to be careful not to do what he's about to do. But that's a combination. So that would mean if he forgot any aspect of it, he initially knew he was tamei, and he knew that being tamei meant that he couldn't go into this place. That's one thing. That is a scenario. He then forgot. What did he forget? He forgot that he was tummy. Or he forgot that he wasn't supposed to be going into this Beis HaMikdash. Those are two possibilities that are both the same chait, but he could have forgotten the tuma and done that chait, or he could have forgotten that this was a Beis HaMikdash and done that chait. The same thing is true about the Basar Kodesh. He knew that he was tummy, and he knew that this was Basar Kodesh. What did he forget? He could forget either of the above, which gives us, essentially, it yields two different cases. He forgot the tuma in the event that he was about to eat Kodesh, or he forgot that this was Kodesh, but he remembered he was tummy. I mean, or for that matter, he could have forgotten both. I mean, that's irrelevant. But the differences between the cases are the scenarios. That's all. So basically, since there are four different ways in which it's possible for the person to be b'chayev himself in the Korban Olah V'Yoreid, even though there's really only two variables here, either the Hashem variable or the Tuma variable, but that makes it Shnayim Shem Arba. Okay, so we'd like to go in this Mishnah, into the details, because we never said those details in the first Mishnah. We flipped, remember, and we started discussing the question of which are the korbanos and so on. So let's go into the details over here. So going back to Yediyot HaTumah, Shtayim She'ein HaArba. So what are these different stages? Well, he was Nitma, and he knew that he was Nitma. And afterwards, he forgot that he was Nitma. But he did remember that this food is Asur to eat because it's Kodesh. That's A. B. He could have actually Nelma Mimena Kodesh. He could have forgotten that this was Basar Kodesh and his Asur, but he knew all along that he was Tameh. So that's another scenario. Or for that matter, he could have forgotten either. That doesn't add a scenario, obviously. That's the same scenario. We're just pointing out that the simple case could have been he forgot both, which would have been exactly the same. And then he goes ahead and he eats it, and he wasn't aware of the fact that he wasn't supposed to eat it, because either he didn't remember the tumah, or he didn't remember it was Kodesh. Then he became aware of the fact that he had eaten something that was Kodesh b'tumah. So this was our first two examples, that you would be chayiv and ola v'yored. Now let's take the other two examples. He was nitma, yes, he knows he's tameh. And then he forgot that he was tameh. He knew that this was the Beis HaMikdash and walked into it. Or he didn't know this was the Beis HaMikdash, even though he had originally, but he knows that he's tameh. Or, once again, those two scenarios could be actually one simple case where he just forgot the whole thing and he was nela mimenus of his head. That doesn't add another scenario. And in the end, he did walk into the Beis HaMikdash and he didn't know that it was Osir, lo yada, for whatever reason. He didn't know it was Osir because he didn't know he was tameh. He didn't know it was Osir because he didn't know it was the Beis HaMikdash. He didn't know it was Osir because he didn't know anything, whatever. But once he got out, he realized, oh my God, I was tameh and I walked into the Beis HaMikdash. I raised up all of the earth. Okay, now that's the simple explanation. The Gemara will go into why we parse it in this particular way. Now, Echad HaNichnas LaAzara, the Echad HaNichnas Tosefet Azara. Now let's talk about when you say you went into the Beit HaMikdash. Where in the Beit HaMikdash do you do? Well, it doesn't matter whether you walk into the original Gvulot of the Beit HaMikdash or you walk into the extended Gvulot of the Mikdash, which Yehoshaphat added to the city and to the Beis HaMikdash. So you can really extend the Azara all the way, theoretically, till the end of the Har HaBayit. Yerushalayim itself can be extended as far as you like, because you could simply go and build new walls wherever you want. You want to build the walls all the way up to Damascus, you know, as we're getting closer to, you could do that. And then you could be Mekadesh the entire area inside as being Kedushas Yerushalayim, which will allow you to eat your Maaser Sheni there and to eat your Kachi Kachi Kalim there. So it doesn't really matter whether it's the original boundaries or whether it was an additional boundary, because the additional boundary is not a municipal decision. And it is not a function of just building walls. So you'll say, so where did the Torah tell me not to go here? I mean, these are new walls that the municipality just put up. The Torah never said, I'm not allowed to walk in there, Betumah. Well, you see, it's far beyond the question of the building of the walls and a municipal decision. You can only be most of the Kedusha on Yerushalayim or the Kedusha of the Azaras of the Beis HaMikdash, if you have a Melech, you have a Navi, you consult with the Urim V'Tumim, and you have a Sanhedrin Shel Shivim V'Echad, and you bring along Shtei Todot, which we'll see as a reference to the largest Chalot that we have, 10 of them, which are the Lechem Chametz, and they are bigger than the Lechem Matzah. Those are the two that we're talking about. Take two of those loaves, and you have to have also a shir that the Levim are going around and are singing, and you have to have a bezdin that is walking around the area with the two todot. Even though it says achareihem, it means the beitin is achareihem. And kol Yisrael achareihem, and then whoever is present. This is a major ceremony. This is the way that we get Kedusha, and that means it is an actual din in the Torah that this new area is Kadosh, and the Gemara will bring the Pasuk that shows us that this is a din in the Torah. Now, what about a different case of Tumas Mikdash v'Kedosha? Is there a different case? Yes, there is. Because you could be over on Tumas Mikdash if you didn't walk into the Beis HaMikdash Betuma. How is that? You became Tomei in the Beis HaMikdash, and you didn't exit immediately. That is also, which we'll learn out from the Psukim in our Perek, that is also Tumas Mikdash V'Kedosha. So therefore, let's add these cases. Nitma Ba'azara, you walked into the Beis HaMikdash and you were perfectly Tahar, and then you became Tomei. And then he forgot. Oh my gosh. I didn't realize I became Tameh. Now, remember that according to Rebbe, where we saw before the Yod, Yediat Beit Rabbo, Ishmo Yediya, this is a very simple case. The person touches a sheretz. He had learned as a child that touching a sheretz is Betameh, but he simply didn't connect to it, as Rashi explains. You can know all the facts and have absolutely no recognition of the impact that those facts made upon you. So that was called, remember, Yediat Beit Rabbo. But obviously it could also be talking about a guy who got a telephone call just as he touched the sheretz. And as we all know, the moment that you answer your cell phone, anything that was done previously, you forgot the bench, you suddenly forget. You were going to send an email, you suddenly forget. A disaster. So, okay, the Mishnah is obviously referring to a case where someone left his cell phone on when he went into the basement. So therefore, when he became Tomei, he forgot that he was Tomei. But he knew this was the Beis HaMikdash. Now, it's also possible that he's sitting in the Beis HaMikdash, gets a cell phone call, and he forgets that he's in the Beis HaMikdash, which is also possible. After all, they put out such a nice video, he thought that he was actually in a movie theater somewhere. But he does remember that he's Tamei. Yes, okay, it's the same two things. Or, of course, could have forgotten both. Now, what would be Mechai of him? I'll tell you what, if he bows down, and bowing down, I don't care how fast he bows down, but if he does a hishtachavoya towards the heichal, even if it takes him a split second, and he runs out as fast as he possibly can, so his total time of exposure of tuma in the Beis HaMikdash was 32 seconds, he would be chayav, a korban ol aviyorid, because he bowed down. And suppose he didn't bow down. Suppose he stayed long enough to bow down. But long enough to bow down, for a normal case, this guy was going nuts because he was trying to get out as quickly as possible. And another situation was, he didn't bow down, but he stayed there long enough to bow down. Maybe that was more time. Maybe that's 45 seconds. That would be enough to be mechayev. Or suppose he immediately started to exit, but he took the long exit instead of the short exit. So that's called balo ba'aruka instead of b'ktsara. In any of these events, he is chayev a korban oil of the yored, and basically these are all halacha l'mashmi sinais, but this is all mechayev. But if he didn't bow down, and he was not shoheh, so these are the three ways you can be chayev: shihia, hishtachavaya, or balo be'arucha. Those are the three different ways. And if not, if he was yotze b'ktsara, he didn't spend this. Again, you see, it's not a function of time, because he may have run the way that was the arucha in the fastest dash for a mile that has ever been done, and he's an Olympic sprinter, and he got out faster through the arucha than normal people would get out through the ktsara. Makes no difference. He does the world's fastest ishtachavoya, even faster than the miklat minyan downstairs. Even so, he would be chayev because of the fact that he did that ishtachavoya. So we're not talking about time. We're talking about these three definitions. The only one that's time is shihia. And shihia is bichtei, a normal ishtachavoya, all to be expressed in the Gemara. So if he went bichtzara, even though he tipped tiptoed through the tulips on his way through the Ketzara, and it took him a very long time to go through the Ketzara. As long as he went through the Ketzara and didn't stop, he would be putter. Now, this is a fascinating situation, because this is called the mitzvah, which is the mitzvah's asei shebemikdash she'ein chayavin alav. Now, what exactly is that supposed to mean? Well, in order to understand what that's supposed to mean, we have to think about the Mishnah in Masechet Huriyot. And this is, if you don't know this Mishnah, our Mishnah is not going to make any sense. So what it says in Huriyot is the following. And this is a Mishnah. Ein chayavim, there it's talking about the parhalam davar shel tzibur, right? So when is a bezdin chayav on a parhalam davar shel tzibur? If they go ahead and they make a mistake about an iser lav, which was a chiyav of karet, and they tell you, no, this is mutter, and it was a mistake, and people actually do it, they're going to have to bring a special korban, the par halam davar shel tzibur, another par, which is nisraf, right? Now, it says there, you are not chayev, meaning you're not chayev, the par halam davar shel tzibur, on the asay and on the lo tasay in the mikdash. So what is the asay? The asay in the mikdash is the fact that you're supposed to be shaleach tmeim. Tomei has to get out as quickly as possible. And the lotasa is, of course, lo yitamu et machaneyem, and also the pasuk by the yoledet, mela migdash lo tavo. They went ahead and they said, no, it's okay, you can walk in betuma. Or they go ahead and they say, it's okay, if you became tamei inside, you can walk out even the long way, or you could be mishtach havoya. There is no chiyav of par halam davar. Why is there no chiyav? Because you're only chayav of par halam davar shel tzibur on something that if a yachid would do, he would be chayav a chatas kavua. But if he's chatas a unique korban, such as a korban oil of a yored, there's no equivalent din of par halam davar shel tzibur. That's what it says in Huriyot. Now, the Masechet over there goes on to say that basically, when it comes, however, to the mitzvahs asay or the mitzvahs lota asay of anida, so the mitzvahs asay we'll see is utihi nidata alav, and that is a remarkable halacha. Utihi nidata alav says that even though a woman is a nida, keep her on you. What? I thought you're not allowed to sleep with a nida. Ah, but what happens if you find out she's a nida, she becomes a nida, suddenly in the middle of intercourse? Says the pasuk, an amazing din, keep her on you. Meaning, do not exit with an erection. Because since there's no difference whether you're thrusting inwards or outwards, it's exactly the same in terms of the pleasure that you're having. The Torah is telling you, you have to wait till you lose your erection, then you can exit. That means that there's supposed to be a time where even Anita is a love, an incredible din. So that is the mitzvah's asay, so to speak, on the case of the Anita. And there's the mitzvah, obviously, of the lota said not to sleep with the nida. Now, we're making this really unreal comparison, because going out of the Beis HaMikdash the long way and going out of the nida the long way, so to speak, is a very strange comparison. But the Mishnah is making that comparison. So the reason, of course, that by the Mikdash you're potter is because the chiyav on the Mikdash is a korban oil of a yared, right? And therefore there's no din of the par halam davar shel tzibur. Mashen kein, the situation by the nida in either case is going to be the iser lava, which shechayev akatas kavua, and therefore it is going to be mechayev a korban oil of a yared. I'm sorry, a par halam davar shel tzibur. Now, our Mishnah comes to be mefarish the Mishnah in Huriyot, you see? So therefore it says, we just explained to you at length what it would be referring to when it was talking about a mitzvah's asei shebimigdash. That's what it meant in Masechet Huriyot. They told you, get out of the Beis HaMikdash. Yes, but get out the long way. So on that, even though it would be an iser gomer, and the yochid would be chayev a korban of a yored, there is no chiyev on the bezdin in that case. Ve'ezoi mitzvat aseh shebenida, that you are chayovim aleha. Again, a reference back to the Mishnah Uriot. And where was that mitzvah aseh? Ah, that would be the case where someone was mishameshim et ha'orah, so he's in the middle of intercourse. Ve'amra lo, she says to him, nitmeti, oh my gosh, I just felt that I became a nida. Upeiresh miyad, and in his behalat, sleeping with the nida, he exits. At that moment, he's chayev. Why? Mipnei sheyitziyato hana'a lo kaviyato. This makes no difference to him, so to speak, biologically, physically, makes no difference in what direction he's going. And therefore, for him to exit with an erection is the same thing as for him to enter. Rabbi Eliezer, when it says in the pasuk, now these are going to be our diukim that we've spoken about all along, about do you definitely, according to all of the shitas, are you going to be chayev on either helim migdash or helim tumas? Okay, so it turns out that we've got three shitas. Even though they seem to be only two shitas, the Gemara is going to explain what the difference is. So Rabbi Eliezer says, look, in the pasuk it says that if a person is zogea, o benivlat sheretz tamei, v'ne'elam mimenu. Now, what does that mean? What is ne'elam mimenu? The sheretz tamei. That's what's ne'elam mimenu. Which means, says Rabbi Eliezer, that the Torah is essentially telling you, al ha'alem sheretz u'chayav. If he knew originally that this was a sheretz that he had touched, and then he forgot that sheretz is metame him, and then he goes into the mikdash, then he's chayev korban olah v'yored. But if he forgot that this was the Beis HaMikdash, then if he remembered that he was the Nitma B'Sheretz, then there is no Chiyav. Tell me where it says V'Ne'elam, excuse me, says Rabbi Eliezer. Where does it say V'Ne'elam on the Ashma? It says V'Ne'elam on the Sheretz. Rabbi Akiva, who seems to say the same thing in practical terms, but brings a riot to it from a different word. So Rabbi Akiva says, actually, where we know it from is the fact that it says in the pasuk, v'ne'elam mimenu v'hu tameh. Let's take a look at the next words. Don't look at, o b'nivlat sheretz tameh v'ne'elam mimenu. Look at the words that follow, v'ne'elam mimenu v'hu tameh. That teaches me only on he'alem tuma are you chayev, but if you forgot that it was the Beis HaMikdash, you would not be chayev, which sounds exactly, I mean, what's the difference? Whether I learned from the sheretz part or whether I learned it from the tuma part, it's the same idea. The chiyav is only on the tuma or the source of the tuma, and not if I forgot that this was the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, sounds the same. The Gemara is going to explain that there's actually a subtle difference between them. So you'd only be chayav a korban olah v'yored in the case of ne'elam mimenu the tuma. If you forgot that this was Batzer Kadesh, then that's not called Ha'alama. If you forgot that this was the Migdash, that's not called Ha'alama. Whereas the Shita that we've been assuming all along, that's Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael says, it says V'ne'elam two times, right? It says V'ne'elam Mimenu, like we saw in the first place. It says V'ne'elam Mimenu V'hu Tameh V'Hashem. And then afterwards, the very next pasuk says again, V'ne'elam Mimenu V'hu Yada V'Hashem. So that talks about two separate halomes. One of them is L'chayev al Helem Tuma, and one of them is L'chayev al Helem Migdash, which gave us our Shnayim Shein Arba, because we talked about the separate Tuma in the context of Migdash, Tuma in the context of Kodesh, or Kodesh in the context of Tuma, and Migdash in the context of Tuma. So those were two cases that were actually four. That is the way that the original Mishnah of our Masechet meant. Bekitzer, I'm giving you all of the details. Omrif Popola Baye, but I don't understand why this is two cases that you're saying equal four cases. Why isn't it two cases that actually equal six cases? Because, look, you could have Yediyos HaTuma, And those yediyas are tchila v'sof, of course. Yediyas, I mean, you did say yediyas atuma, didn't you? So, I mean, basically, you've got the fact that you were aware that you were tummy at the beginning, and you were aware that you became reaware that you were tummy at the end. You were aware that this was Basar Kedesh at the beginning, and then you became reaware at the end. Or you were aware that this was the Beis HaMikdash at the beginning, and then you became aware that this was the Mikdash again after having forgotten. Because Rav Papa says, look, I mean, the Mishnah says yediyas, right? So what are the yediyas that are involved in being mechayev you a korban oil of yari? Six possible different yediyas. So why doesn't it say that? There are six separate yediyas. Says the Gemara. So one second, Rav Papa, hold on a minute. So where do you get six? If you want to talk about all of the differences, you should actually have eight, because you should have separated between what the Yediyah Satuma was. There was the Yediyah Satuma in the context of Kodesh, and there was the Yediyah Satuma in the context of Mikdash, Tchila V'Sof. I mean, it's interesting that we took for granted that the contextual level of the Tuma is important, but not the number of times that you would have to know. And Rav Papa, who does take into consideration the number of times, meaning Tchila V'Sof, seems to have forgotten the importance of mentioning the contextual level of the Tuma. So, I mean, if you want to take what we, you understand what we're saying, Rav Papa. So, I mean, don't tell us we should say six, because, I mean, Leshitascha, tell us, who we obviously do take contextuality into consideration in listing the number, you should have said eight, because that would have included all of the variables. And all you would be doing is you would be adding the beginning and the end instead of just talking about the beginning and the end as if they're one thing, right? Okay, so then to be consistent, you should have said eight. Ah, but you see, Rav Papa is purposefully ignoring that because he wants you to understand that your approach is stupid. What's the difference of the context? Tuma is the same Tuma, whether you're going to go into the Mikdash with it or you're going to eat Kodesh with it. So why would that list a separate case? That's the point that Rav Papa is making. The correct way to analyze the Mishnah, says Rav Papa, is to have created the case of all of the Yediyas HaTuma, and that would be a total of six. So to tell me eight? Huh, nonsense. Hello, Kasha. Tuma is one Tuma, whether it's the Tuma of Mikdash or Kodesh. Shem Tuma Achasi. I'm not going to give in to your nonsense. I'm saying the correct way to read the Mishnah, not the correct way to read the Mishnah according to you and all of your assumptions. The correct way to read the Mishnah is Mikomakom Shitavyan. There are six cases, not four cases. So therefore, I will explain how it is that this is really meant to be understood. Of course, the Mishnah keeps in mind all of these eight variables. But the reason that we're talking actually of Shnayim Shein Arba is because, look, the first four cases, those are the cases. Let's take your idea and explain how the Mishnah can work out according to your idea. So even though I personally didn't think this is the way to read the Mishnah, but because of the force of my own question, why don't I get six? I have to admit that the Mishnah is taking into consideration the contextual differences of the Tuma, and therefore, in reality, there are eight cases, as you yourself pointed out. And what we have to say is that the Mishnah is not listing all of the diot for some reason. So, okay, I would say that maybe the first four yediot, so what are the first four yediot? The Yediyah B'Tchila, right? Now, that Yediyah B'Tchila is not mechayev you anything until there's a Yediyah B'Sof. So the Yediyah B'Tchila, that you're Tamei, and this is the Beis HaMikdash, or that you're Tamei, and this is Kodesh. So that which ends up then being forgotten, either forgetting the Tumah element or the Kodesh element, right? So those four, the Mishnah doesn't want to discuss when it says Shnayim Shein Arba. Why? Because they ultimately don't ever end up being mechayev you a korban. So the arba kamaita de lo maitin leili de korban lo kachashim. you're not going to be able to bring a korban until you actually become aware at the end of what you did. And those are yediyah besof. Those yediyahs besof. Those are what the Mishnah lists. So there are four yediyahs besof that they're ma'asin lelidei korban. Those and only those where he's makir that he was chayte. That is what the Mishnah is listing. Or there's another version in Rav Papa, according to which Rav Papa indeed says, look, I have to admit that there are eight cases, but the only four that the Mishnah wants to discuss are the crazy things. What are the crazy things? The need for yediyah b'tchila. Nowhere in Kol HaTorah Kula is there a need for yediyah b'tchila. It's like a wild kind of thing. So the Mishnah wants to point out, look, this is something that violates all of our standards, you know, but nonetheless, we're going to tell you there are these four wild ideas. If you take a look at the way the Rambam actually expresses the whole thing, he puts it all together. And this is the way he presents it. Shinui yesh b'shiras tumas mikdash mikdashav masha ein ken b'shar kritot. That's his original exposition, is this point of Rav Papa. There's something weird about tumas mikdash mikdashav that you will not find in any other case. Because kol hakritot, all other cases of kores, kivan sheshagag, v'nodalo b'sof hachet, afa pishlo haitalo yediya b'tchila, hareze chayav chatat. And then a helam bin atayin. And I'll show it to you from the psukim. Miminayin shedin shigas bigdash v'kedosha. Because, and here you see, he even contrasts the psukim to show the same nekuda. That's how important the contrast is. All of that Rambam is based on this presentation of Rav Papa. Isn't that beautiful? So take a look at the psukim. B'shar shkagot, it says in the Torah, ba'asota achat mimitzvot Hashem asher lo te'asena v'Hashem ohodai lav chatato asher chata kivan sheyoda. That's all that's important. Afa b'shelo yoda b'tchila. Mashem ken b'tumas migdash v'kedosh, it says, v'ne'ala mimenu v'yada v'Hashem. I mean, if it says in a heap, goes with Rebbe. If it says v'ne'elam mimenu, v'chol shayta sham yediyah b'tchila. So why does it say v'yadav Hashem? Alamadata, shu tzarich yediyah b'tchila, v'yediyah b'sof, v'helem ben atayim. So he brings out so beautifully the teretz of Rav Papa in our Mishnah, according to this Ika the Amri in Rav Papa. And therefore, Rav Papa is saying, the first four, that's the crazy thing. And that is the whole impact of the Mishnah. Can you imagine? There's an idea called Yediyah Satuma, which you never heard of before, even though we've learned through all of the different katos. And all of a sudden we discover these are by Kamaita, the Letnu Bechola Tarakula. That's what the Mishnah is coming to tell me. Yeah, okay, you found out you were chayte. Well, the Mishnah has to tell you that you found out you were chayte to bring him. Obviously, that's like anything else. I'm not going to mention those local chashim. By Rav Papa, the question is, exactly when we say that there was a shikha, what is the extent of that shikha? So suppose he forgot, ne'almu mimenu hilchot tum'ah mahu. So he knew that he touched the sheretz, but he wasn't sure that this makes him tameh. So is the fact that he doesn't know the dinim of vitrotzim or batanim or whatever, does that mean that he never knew that he was tameh? Or is the focus on the way that the Torah actually expresses it, that he was naga b'sheretz? That's what he has to know. He knows that. So if that's the case, do we say that for all intents and purposes, It's the same as knowing he was tameh? Well, no. When you say he doesn't know, why doesn't he know? What do you mean? Heridami. Ilema de lo yada I sheretz tameh, itzvardeya tameh. What are you saying? He knows that the shmona shratzim are tameh, but he can't remember whether it was a froggy that's metame, and he doesn't want to be a frog? Or does it mean lita'a is metame, you know? So he's confused for that point, because remember, it's not every sheretz that's metame. So if basically he would have been never exposed to the din of tumah, that Rav Popa wouldn't have asked, because that means he doesn't know that he's tame, and it says for nitma. He has to know he was tame. So the question is, what level of yediyah is considered to be a yediyah? So is the case possibly that he doesn't remember whether it's froggies? I mean, how could anybody not know that? Zil kri be'ravu, that's a kindergarten. You never went to kindergarten? So if that's what it is that you forgot, so therefore we view that as somebody who did know at one time what it is that we're going to get in later to the question of Yediyas Beis Rabo in a minute. So it must be that he actually liolam deyada betumah sheretz, but he didn't remember the shear. There was a tiny piece, which was a shear of a kedasha, which is like, whoa. And he doesn't remember whether a shear of kedasha is enough to be metamehim or it's not enough to be metamehim. And then he forgot that he had touched it. Now, is that called a yediyah where he wasn't certain that it had actually impacted him or not? My. Do we say even the yada de betame sheretz be'olam? He knows that a sheretz is betame, and he knows that he touched a piece of a sheretz. That's called a yediyah. O dilma even the ka'adasha lo yada, so he doesn't know whether adasha is betame or lo betame. That is essentially called a ha'aloma, because there was no clear-cut awareness, because yes, everybody is aware of the fact that Shmoneh Shratzim are metame, and they all went to school, and of course they put on the wall of the kindergarten a picture of the Shmoneh Shratzim so that every child would know. They take school trips. Of course, what do they take school trips for in kindergarten? What, do you think to play fire engines? They take school trips in order to know and to be aware of what it feels like to handle the Shmoneh Shratzim, and they go to the museum and the zoo. It's amazing, right? So he knew that, but I mean, that doesn't mean that in the kindergarten they necessarily taught him about the shiurim of a kadasha. Now that's not so pushing. So maybe that is considered to be a actual haloma take. I don't know about that. Let me ask you something else, says Rabbi Yirmiyah. You're an American tourist. Now, American tourists are astoundingly dumb. So this guy actually finds himself in this beautiful building, you know, where they're bringing korbanos and stuff. He has no idea that's the Beis HaMikdash. He remembered hearing something about the Taj Mahal, and this looks like a really nice ancient building. And he sees this tour guide, you know, it says Barnea Tours, and the guy's talking and so on. He had no idea this was the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, he nela mimenu mekom migdash. So, I mean, what is the din over there? He knows there is such a thing, but he had no idea that this was the Beis HaMikdash. He thought that this was actually City Hall. You know, it was just a classic Yerushalayim City Hall. You know, with a lot of tourist attractions in the City Hall. So
this was very common in the 70s and 80s that people walked up into Ira Bais and had no idea. You hear it all the time.
Yes, it was.
It was very common.
Yeah. So, well, I understand what the question is, says the Gemara. I mean, are we asking Alibi to Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva says you need to know that you were Tomei. Remember, that was the Machlokas, because according to Rabbi Yishmael, there was a Machlokas over here. According to Rabbi Akiva, you're not Mechuyev on anyway on the Halama of Mikdash, only Chayev and Alama of Tumas. It's not really relevant. We just had in the Mishnah, it's according to Rabbi Yishmael, this is the question. But the thing is, so if you're asking it according to Rabbi Akiva, so you wouldn't be Chayev on Hal and Mikdash, so therefore it's a meaningless question. And if you're asking according to Rabbi Yishmael, so Rabbi Yishmael, remember, he owes you don't need the idea. You don't need idea betchila. So I don't care who you're asking it like. You're asking it according to nobody. There's no Tana that this is Nogea. We haven't gotten yet to the Makor of the Sheet of Rabbi Shmuel, but we have mentioned it numerous times. that he holds you don't need Yediyah B'tchila. So how does that work? No, I was asking going to Rebbe. A Rebbe does hold Yediyah B'tchila. Rebbe is Mechayev, a Korbanot of a Yored, on Helam Migdash. And Rebbe also holds, as we saw before, that Yediyat Beit Rabo is considered to be Shema Yediyah. So if you learned about it in school, so that's the question. My Kibbutz Yadadika Migdash Ba'ilam. Yes, he was in school, and they showed him, you know, videos of what it is to be in the Beis HaMikdash and so on and so forth. So is that called the idea? But we could say that, look, I mean, the spatial placement is something that you can't really give over just by teaching about it. So Dilma Kiva de Mikomo lo Yadalai, that is called a halana, because knowing about the fact is still not telling you not to walk into this particular geographic location. That's the question. And that, indeed, is Teiku. Wow. Whew. Okay.